Today we'll be talking about William Easterly. William Easterly is a development economist. He spent many years at the World Bank traveling to developing countries all over the world. He's currently professor at New York University and co-director of the Development Research Institute. You can find their webpage right here and William Easterly's webpage here. Both have a lot of useful information. Easterly has written two brilliant books, both of which I recommend. In The Elusive Quest for Growth, he shows how foreign aid failed to create growth. He looks at a lot of models which had made economists really quite optimistic, that if only they did X, Y, and Z, if only they pushed hard enough, they could launch economies on the path to growth. And Easterly shows, well, we did X, Y, and Z, and we didn't get growth. Easterly wrote this book while he was an economist with the World Bank, and the World Bank promptly fired him. In his next book, The White Man's Burden, this book is more about why foreign aid, as it has been practiced, has often failed. Now, Easterly is often thought to, is often reported as saying that foreign aid doesn't work. That's really not the case. Easterly gives a number of examples of types of foreign aid which do work. Oral rehydration therapy, the Green Revolution. I talk about some of these in another one of our videos. What Easterly is against is a certain type of mentality, a certain type of way of thinking about foreign aid or imposing foreign aid. Easterly contrasts planners versus searchers. And it's that contrast, that way of thinking about foreign aid in the planning framework, which Easterly opposes and is a critic of, and that's what I want to talk more about. I see Easterly as following very much in the tradition of von Mises and Hayek, and of using many of the ideas which first arose in the context of the socialist calculation debate, using these ideas to understand foreign aid. So briefly, Mises and Hayek argued that a centrally planned economy would fail because of knowledge problems and incentive problems. The planners, Hayek said, had a pretense of knowledge, a fatal conceit. The planners don't have enough knowledge, nor could they ever have enough knowledge to centrally plan an economy. Moreover, the planners had poor incentives to plan an economy in the public's interest. In contrast, prices could signal and incentivize, and the price system could use tacit, dispersed knowledge, knowledge of time and place, knowledge which could never be brought together and used in a central location. Instead, the price system could use the knowledge which was in millions of minds, could make use of this dispersed but large body of knowledge. The market also created incentives to discover new knowledge, entrepreneurship. So I see Easterly as applying all of these ideas to foreign aid, which is not to say that the foreign aid planners were socialists, not at all, but the foreign aid planners, in Easterly's views, also had a pretense of knowledge, a fatal conceit. They had poor incentives to follow through. They did not make enough use of the price system. Moreover, it's not simply that they didn't use the market as a discovery process. The foreign aid planners failed to use other types of discovery processes as well. They failed to consider the importance of trial and error, of experimentation, of testing. And even though they weren't trying to centrally plan an economy, in one respect, they had a pretense of knowledge even bigger than the central planners, in that they were trying to influence an economy which was far away, influence an economy which was not their own, a developing economy which had incentives and politicians and politics and people and entrepreneurs which were totally different than the ones that they knew, and they didn't take into account the incentives of the people on the ground or the incentives and the knowledge of the politicians running many of these developing countries. So in all of these ways, Easterly is applying the ideas of Hayek and Mises, but in an original and a totally interesting way. Let's take a closer look. Perhaps Easterly's most Hayekian statement is this one where he contrasts the planners versus the searchers. The planners announce good intentions, but don't motivate anyone to carry them out, unlike the price system. Searchers find things that work and get some reward. Planners determine what to supply. Searchers find out what is in demand. Planners apply global blueprints. Searchers adapt to local conditions, at local knowledge. Planners at the top lack knowledge of the bottom, lacking knowledge. Searchers find out what the reality is at the bottom. Planners never hear whether the plan got what it needed. Searchers find out if the customer is satisfied. Feedback, discovery process, testing. A planner thinks he already knows the answers. He thinks of poverty as a technical engineering problem that his answers will solve. A searcher admits he doesn't know the answers in advance. He believes that poverty is a complicated tangle of political, social, historical, institutional, and technological factors. A searcher hopes to find answers to individual problems only by trial and error experimentation. A planner believes outsiders know enough to impose solutions. A searcher believes only insiders have enough knowledge to find solutions and that most solutions must be homegrown. A very Hayekian statement. Here's an example of searchers in action. Hindustan Lever, which is a subsidiary of the giant conglomerate Unilever, they wanted to sell more soap in India. Of course, they wanted to do so in order to increase profits, but they also knew that clean hands save lives. Particularly among the poor, diarrhea is a terrible killer of children. And diarrhea can be avoided when people have clean hands, when they wash away the bacteria and the viruses and they stop infections with clean hands. But convincing people to wash their hands is actually not an easy task. Even in the West, convincing people that they're sort of invisible animals which can kill them isn't easy. Even doctors who understand the theory better than anyone don't wash their hands as much as they should. So in order to convince people to buy soap required a considerable education campaign. Hindustan Lever went out to small villages to talk with healers in these villages, doctors in these villages, school children. They hired poor women to talk with other women in the Shakti program. And gradually, with an education program, and by making the soap in small enough packets that it was affordable to the poor, they began to increase their sales of soap, and that began to save lives. Now, this is not a reason to think that foreign aid is not necessary. It's an example of the type of approach which Easterly wants foreign aid planners to adopt, the bottom-up approach. Now, this has been done in some cases. In the case of oral rehydration therapy, this very much followed the same type of model, teaching women how to create oral rehydration therapy, which is a very simple process, in order to save the lives of their children. Or think about the extension of cell phones to the developing world and how this has brought the developing world, brought them banking, brought them into the global economy, made the price system work better. For Easterly, it's solving these individual problems, which itself is constituent of growth. So it's not a grand problem to end poverty within 5 years. It's solving the problems of individuals. It's not a big push. It's lots of little pushes. It's lots of little victories, lots of little ways of increasing the lives of the poor, bettering the lives of the poor, solving individual problems. That itself is what growth is all about. So one of the themes in Easterly is clearly bottom-up institutions, as solving the problems of individuals first. Take care of the individuals and the society will take care of itself. Feedback and testing, experimentation, using market processes, but also using randomized testing and so forth is another theme in Easterly. Of course, this makes him favor markets, also makes him favor democracy. And both markets and democracy we can think of as bottom-up institutions, as involving feedback, testing, throwing people out of office, that's a type of feedback. We can think both markets and democracy as giving the poor greater voice. So there you have it, William Easterly. Here's where you can find out more information. I should close by also mentioning I focus on William Easterly as a development economist. He's also a scholar in many related areas. His very important work on ethnic fragmentation with Alberto Alesina, for example. You can find more about his work at williameasterly.org and also the New York Development Institute, Development Research Institute. Thanks.